Good morning. Welcome back to the Romans class. This is part two of Romans chapter 12. On Wednesday, we started the chapter and we got through verse 8. We talked about how chapter 12 is really a turning point in the book of Romans, where now Paul starts talking specifically to Christians. He's done talking to the Jews and the Gentiles. He's now talking to Christians about how they need to live their life. And he really starts off with a heavy hitter that we need to offer our life as a sacrifice. And we talked about what that meant, that sacrifices hurt us. And we talked about that our body is now the temple. We have God within us. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We read those verses and we talked about how we need to do what is right. We need to get sin out of our lives so that we can be a pleasing sacrifice to God. That through our bodies, we are not just being a light for Christ, but we are also serving Him and showing others God in our lives. And that's so important. We talked about how we do not need to be molded into the world, not act and look and talk like the world. And we need to do that by renewing our minds. We need to stay in the scriptures. We need to make sure that we study, spend time with brethren. We talk about different ways that we can renew our mind. And then we went through a series of qualities that we need to have, that we need to have as Christians. We talked about there will be some that can preach, some who can teach. We talked about how it's not necessarily the preacher, it's not necessarily even the elder here that this verse could be referencing as those who lead. We lead our family, we lead our children, we lead others, we may lead at work. There's different ways that we can lead. We talked about those, just be an encourager, be a Barnabas. That's so important in God's kingdom. Giving with liberality. And we're going to talk about that more this morning. And showing compassion and cheerfulness is how we wrapped up on Wednesday night. So I ask that you just join in. We're going to go through verses 9 through the end of the chapter. There's so many good things here. We're going to talk about how our character needs to be as Christians. Paul really, once again, gives us a great list to go through, a great list to study, and we're going to have such a good time. I'm so thankful for this class that we have, and it's been great. I'm sure you can see different background. I'm out of town at my parents' house. We're here for the weekend, but I can still pre-record this, and we can enjoy a study together on Sunday morning. So thank you for joining in. We're going to say a prayer, and then we're going to get started into this study. Please bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have to study your word. We thank you for this book that Paul wrote. We pray that you will allow us to open it with open minds, that we will take the things that we learn and not just apply them in our lives, but teach others. It's so important to bring all to you. Lord, we ask at this time for peace. This is a very rough time that we're going through here in the U.S. We pray that we show love to everyone, that we lift up the brokenhearted, that we acknowledge all, and that we understand that each and every soul is so important. We thank you so much for your Son and his sacrifice. Help us to live our life as a sacrifice. And we ask that you be with those who are sick. The virus is still going on. We pray that you be with those all over the world. We ask that you be with those who are traveling. Please be with us as we go through this study. And thank you so much for your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. And we'll stop there. As we start thinking about these character traits that we can have as Christians, the very first thing that Paul says is in regards to our love. We should not be hypocrites, especially in our love. Let love be without hypocrisy. Being a hypocrite, as we've talked about, is saying one thing and doing another. You know, we see this in the news. We see even the world pointing out, you know, look at the hypocrisy of this person or that person. And I think we understand it. But when it comes to love, you know, do we really understand love as Jesus loved? Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice. You know, we started out this chapter in chapter 12 talking about our bodies being a sacrifice, that we too need to imitate Jesus and give ourselves for all, and especially when it comes with love. Jesus is the greatest example that we have of love. Jesus gave himself, his own life, for those who hated him, those who spat upon him, those that put him on a cross, that just tormented him and ultimately killed him. That's who Jesus loved. And we're going to talk about, especially towards the end of this chapter, about our love even some more in regards to our enemies. But right now, I think we need to recognize with love, we should not say we love someone or act like we love them, but really not. In our hearts, you know, maybe we say, yeah, I love you, and you know, we leave. Do we really love? Do we love as Christ loved? Do we give ourselves? Are we kind to even strangers? And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit as well, in regards to love. But are we hypocrites? I think we need to ask ourselves that. You know, when it comes to love, I think we all know 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love, and we know it's patient, it's kind, and you know. If we are not patient in our love, if we're not kind, then we're hypocrites. That's what Paul is telling us here, that our love needs to be without hypocrisy. And ultimately, Jesus is our greatest example, and we need to go back to him. How did he love? He loved in a way that he meant it. He meant it and gave his life, the ultimate sacrifice. And that's something that we need to think about with that. Because ultimately, we need to, as we continue on in this verse, it says, abhor what is evil. When we think about our life before being a Christian, we were rebels. We did not obey God's word. We sinned. We still continue to sin, but we need to be different than our old life. We need to look back on it and have a shame. We shouldn't look back and say, man, I wish I could still do this or that. We need to abhor what is evil. When we realize that something is a sin, we need to turn away from it and go the complete opposite way. Just be disgusted by evil, so much so that we don't want to do it ourselves. And that's what Paul is saying here. And it says, cling to what is good. Now, as Christians, we understand and know what is good through God's word. We can read the Bible and know good. What God says, all words that he says are good. And we need to remember, we shouldn't cling to what is bad. Remember, Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, he said, talking about, he says, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, we can't have our hands on clinging to what is good on the plow going forward, but then looking back at what we're leaving. And just like Lot's wife, remember her, such a great example, leaving what something that is so evil, and God said, do not even look back. leave. She turned back, and it cost her her life. That's what we see here. Cling to what is good. Keep your eyes straight forward on the straight and narrow. That's what Paul is talking about here. Cling to what is good. And Paul goes even further in verse 10. He says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That we need to be devoted to each other. That's love. That's not being a hypocrite. That's when someone needs help, you stop what you're doing and you help them. You show love. You know, there are people today, as I mentioned in the prayer, it's a time of turmoil. There's people who feel like that they are less than others. We need to lift them up with compassion. We need to show love to them. We need to help them understand that they matter. Anyone with a soul should have our utmost respect, our utmost love, and we should want nothing but to get them to heaven. That's our job. That's the Great Commission. That's what we've been commanded to do. And as we see here, be devoted in brotherly love. The brotherly love, this is the phileo love, where Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, gets its name. And it's the love that refers to the mutual love between parents and children, or a wife and husband, that it's a type of affection, like a family, that when we show this brotherly love, especially to other Christians or even strangers, as we'll get to, that this brotherly love that we show is one that we're all family. We are all, we talked about, there's so many different members of the church. There's members who can do certain things and that we may not be able to do ourselves. And it's those members that we're family with. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to remember that we need to have this type of affection. And it's so important as a part of our character to have this brotherly love, be devoted, to make sure that we know when our brother and sister is struggling, so that we can not just pray for them, not just say, hey, you know, if you need money, here's some money. Although that is a good thing, but we need to make sure that we're just taking care of one another. You know, I think we all understand that you know, if my hand hurts, I'm going to do things to make sure that my hand feels better, whether that be put it in a sling or whatever the case may be. I'm going to take care of it, just like we need to take care of our other members of the body when it comes to Christ Church, other Christians. Definitely building our character. And it says give preference to one another in honor. We need to understand giving preference. We need to make sure that we give preferential treatment to others, not ourselves at all. Philippians 2 verse 3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. See, we have to lift up others. We have to make sure that don't give preference to yourself. That is so hard. That's what the world wants to do. And that's not what Jesus did. Jesus did the complete opposite. As he was being beaten to death, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's the kind of love that we need to have. That's the forgiveness we need to have. And that's what Paul is talking about here. That not just be devoted, but give preference to one another and showing honor. That we need to make sure that as we love our brothers and sisters, that we're giving preference. If they need something, stop what you're doing. Because that is so important. That is what is going to help them out more than just say, I'm praying for you. And I think too often we fall into that trap. I know I have. That is just a simple way to just move on. But real sacrifice takes work. We need to dig in. Verse 11 says, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We need to be diligent. We need to be those who put effort, putting in work to... not to build our character, but also show love. That we need to be fervent in spirit. It needs to be strong. That we need to have God's word just coming out of us. That we can stop. We can be like Jesus. Lead others to him. Serving the Lord, ultimately. That's the whole point here. that we need to really, as 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 tells us, that we need to look for and hasten the coming day of the Lord. We need to be ready for it. We need to serve until that day comes. And that's the point here, that when we build this character that doesn't include just brotherly love, we also need to be fervent. We need to be strong. We need to be ready. We need to have our armor on, as we've talked about in past classes. Verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. We need to rejoice in hope. We know that faith is hope, the assurance of things unseen, as Hebrews tells us. We need to rejoice in that. We need to rejoice that we have faith, that we can build others' faith up. You know, so often when we get together with brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but it makes you feel good to have like family, to have this body that we can be together, that we're not going to be tempted in the ways of the world. We take the world and put it away, and we can be together, and how great that is, that we can rejoice. We need to rejoice. That's such an important part of our character, is to be rejoicing, because we do have a home in heaven. Persevering in tribulation. We're all going to be going through various times. And when we do go through tribulation, we need to be patient, some versions say. And we need to understand that no one can take the hope from us. We shouldn't live our life like, well, you know, the hope is gone. We need to be diligent in that. We need to persevere through this tribulation. And ultimately, one of the ways that we do that is, Paul says, be devoted in prayer. When you're going through a tough time, we need to go to God and pray. That's our message with God. We can go straight to Him. It's the phone line is always open. We can talk to Him at any time. And that's how we need to remember that if we are going through tribulation, we need to persevere. We need to keep on pressing on and pray. Pray to God. So important. When we start to neglect prayer, that's when we start to fail throughout tribulation. And that's when we're going to go back to the world. That's when we're going to sin and be separated from God. And we need to remember that. It's so important for us. And when we understand this great relationship that we have with God, we also need to understand, verse 13, that we need to contribute to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. You see, the next step, once we've been through trials, we can understand that one of our members is going through a trial, and we can help them out. We can understand their needs and contribute to them. Maybe they're going through a tough, they've lost their job and need money. We have money, we need to contribute to them. We need to contribute to the work of the church. And while that's not always money, that is something that important that we need to remember, that ultimately it's all God's. We are all stewards of the things that God has blessed us with. And if we need to contribute to needy saints, right here is a commandment that we need to do that. And that's our brothers and sisters, those in the church. It says practicing hospitality. And I think so often, I know at least in the past, I viewed hospitality as you have some members of the church over and you feed them, you spend time with them, you may have a Bible study. That is hospitality. You're opening your home, you're extending your home to other brothers and sisters. But ultimately, that's not really the idea of hospitality here. Hospitality is showing love to strangers. You know, those in our church, while we do need to spend time together, they're not strangers. They shouldn't be strangers. We should know those in our body. But when strangers come, we need to open our home. Do they need a place to stay? You know, I think we live in a very dangerous time where, you know, people can steal, they can rob. We don't know them. You know, are we always willing to open our home? You know, honestly, no. But if we need to bring them in and feed them, we need to do that. And a dear brother in Christ passed away yesterday. And something that was said about him that I really loved was, and it made me think of this verse, practicing hospitality. when someone talked to him, I know the first time I talked to him, I was a complete stranger. He asked about my life, about my personal life. He wanted to know where I was from, what job I had, or if I was in college or whatever. I can't remember exactly when it was that I met him. It may have been in college. But I didn't leave as a stranger, and that's the point here. As Christians, no one should leave us as a stranger. We should reach out to them just like Jesus, draw them into us. Don't let them leave as a stranger. And no one left this one that passed away as a stranger. And that was such a great quality that he had. And we need to remember that as well. Verse 14 says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. You know, show kindness to those who persecute you." That is difficult. If someone is making fun of us for being a Christian or giving us a hard time, maybe they even fire us because of our beliefs, or you know, take it to the extreme. They try and hurt us. Bless them? You know, it's so easy to curse them, right? To wish bad of them because they did bad to us. You know, that's what the world does. And even those the Jews in the old law, you know, an eye for an eye. If they hurt my eye, I need to hurt their eye because ultimately that's what's fair. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus turned the other cheek. Jesus went on, he blessed those. He forgave them when they were hurting him, persecuting him, as we talked about. We shouldn't curse. You know, as we use our tongue, we need to use our tongue for blessings. We're going to bring more to Christ through blessing them, even if they're persecuting us, and they'll say, "Wait, something's different," because they're not striking back. We're stopping and we're continuing on. We're pressing on because we have a hope, and that's what Paul is saying here. Do not curse, bless them. Verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." You know, if we have brothers and sisters who are rejoicing, we should be happy with them. If they got a new job, a new house or whatever, a new car, great. You know, think about how great it is for them, not sitting back thinking, "I wish I had a new car." You know, the point is we need to rejoice with our brothers and sisters. And I think that's much easier than weeping when they weep. It's easier just to say, like I said, you know, "We're praying for you and we hope everything turns out for the right." But sitting and weeping with them, understanding they are going through a trial and tribulation, that is so much harder. As we you know, to be sad when they're sad, because we understand that if they're hurting, we're hurting, because we are all members of the same body. And that's the brotherly love that we talked about, showing that kindness to the members of our body. It says, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation." We need to have the same mind, you know, as we're one body. We need to make sure, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, to be of the same mind and of the same judgment, that we go back to God's word. We go back to the Bible. We're not offering advice just like the world would. Oh, you're being persecuted? Well, hit them back. That's not the idea here. It's be of the same mind, to be unified, all in one spirit. That is the point here that Paul is saying. Don't be haughty. Don't be proud. Don't think of yourself as better or elevated. That, wow, you know, it's a shame you're struggling. It's a shame you're weeping. I'm not. I'm thankful I'm not. We need to get on the same level. We should not be proud. We should be humble. We should be low, just like Jesus was. That is what Jesus did. And ultimately, as we see, we're not going to be wise in our own estimation. We're not going to think that we, being proud, "Look what I did." No, we need to humble ourselves and lift those up. That's what Paul's saying. And such an important character trait that we need to have. When we look at this verse in verse 16. Verse 17 continues on, "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men." And Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. He talked about the old law. We understand that the old law, that there was ways to go avenge those who maybe if they killed a family member, you could go be an avenger and you could go find them and kill them unless they were in a city of refuge. But if they left that city, then they're fair game. You could take their life because they took someone's life. That was in the old law, but we don't see that in the new law. I think the world very much still believes that. And we're going to get to chapter 13 on Wednesday, and talking about the government. I mean, the government is going to help take care of those who, maybe they murder one of your family members, or they persecute you, and even they kill you. The government's going to take care of that. We have civil authorities that will punish those, and we don't need to take the vengeance back for ourselves. Christ didn't do it. We don't need to do it. We should not pay back evil for evil. If someone does us wrong, we take the high road. We keep pressing on. We're diligent. We do not act like the world, and we move on. We respect what is right in the sight of all men. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 15 says, "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all." And that's the idea at the end of this verse, verse 17, is that we need to do what is right to all. And ultimately, if we lift ourselves up out of whatever it is, whatever evil that has been done to us, if we, turn our cheek and go the other way, that's ultimately the right thing to do. That we are now a light in the dark world when evil has been done to us. And that's really what will set us apart from the world, because we're a light. We're not in the darkness. We're not practicing evil. We're not also, when someone does evil to us, that's the first thing that we do is, okay, get back, do evil to them. And I think we'll be so much better off if we follow what Paul says here and live like Jesus. Verse 18, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Looking back at verse 18, it says, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men." That's ultimately where we're at with regards to being humble, to living at peace. If there's persecution that's coming, we will be persecuted. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 tells us that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's going to come. And there is this in verse 18 where Paul says, "If possible," and then he continues on, "so far as it depends on you, be at peace." We ultimately sometimes will have to take ourselves out of an evil situation where we have been wronged, and understand that being at peace means removing ourselves from that, not getting back, not being evil. It takes work to remove ourselves. And that's what Paul is telling, and that's another really character trait that we need to have, is to be at peace, but it does depend on us. And we need to be patient, endure it, get through it. You'll have wisdom for it, and you'll be at peace. You're not at war with others. That is something that we need to remember. Because verse 19, in regards to being at peace with all, says, "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." See, we should not avenge ourselves. We should understand that God is the one who will take the vengeance. We shouldn't do it ourselves, leaving room for the wrath of God, because God said himself, vengeance is mine, I will repay. We need to understand that, if someone has wronged us, it's not up to us to get back with them. It's not up to us to give evil straight back. That we need to turn the other cheek, go the other way, and understand that God will take care of it on Judgment Day. Those who persecute you will be dealt with. Not immediately. You know, just because you're persecuted doesn't mean you can hit back or whatever the case may be. But we need to understand that God will take care of it. If we make it through and we move on, you know, we'll definitely go through persecution again. And it may be the hardest thing that you've ever gone through. But in the end, God's going to take care of it. All will be set straight. You know, you'll have a home in heaven. And ultimately, those who do not obey God's word will not. And we need to remember that God will take care of that vengeance. And he goes on in verse 20 and says, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And as we think about this, okay, don't pay back evil for evil. Live at peace with all, okay, good deal. Now we get to our enemies. If they're hungry, feed them. That's tough. That is hard for us to do. It's hard for me to do. If someone has wronged us, isn't it easier to hold a grudge? Isn't it easier, just like the world does, to return evil? But now, if that person who was evil to you, now your enemy, someone who has persecuted you, someone who has made your life very, very difficult, if you see them hungry, what are we commanded to do? Feed them. What would Jesus do in this situation? Jesus would feed them. Jesus would sit back as he was being killed by those he was dying for. Our sins killed Jesus. He died for our sins. And we are rebels, and we are enemies of his. And what has he done to us? He's given us the bread of life. He's giving us the waters that we can drink and live forever. He's given us the waters that we can go down into as a grave and raise out of them as a new creature. Jesus would feed his enemies. And that's what we're supposed to do. If our enemies are thirsty, we give them a drink. You know, when we show kindness to others, that will make them think, you know, possibly, why was I so mean, or why did I do what I did to them? Because look how nice they are. They gave me food. They gave me a drink. It could open a door to a Bible study then. You know, why I was so mean to you, and I've wronged you. Why would you give me food? Why would you give me a drink? And that could open up the door to the gospel. But so many times we get to this part where, in doing so, you will heap burning coals on their head. And I know I've even used this in the past, and maybe in the wrong way, where if we turn the other cheek and do what's right, you know, if someone say they whatever the case may be, they beat us up, and they're our enemy, and we see them struggling, and then we go help them. You know, maybe we see that their yard needs to be mowed, and we mow it for them, even though the terrible evil things that they did. And in the past, I thought, well, you know, I'm really heaping those burning coals on their head. They're gonna sit there and stew because they've got these burning coals now on their head because I have really shown them, you know, out of spite. And that's not how Jesus lived. Jesus did not do anything out of spite. Jesus did not, you know, do, for example, those who were beating him before he was put on the cross, you know, say he didn't die and he went back to those who were beating him and out of spite gave them food and gave them water if he saw him hungry. And just so, you know, I'm really sticking it to them. I took the high road and they can't stand it, because now they're mad. That's not what Jesus would do. And you know, I think really Curtis said it best and really gave me a different viewpoint when he preached on this verse. It was a long time ago, but Curtis said that the culture of this time, they would have, the only way to heat their homes was by coal, and they would have to go get the coal, and it was expensive, but it would heat their homes. And really what Jesus would do, and what Paul is saying here, is to your enemy, if you see them cold, if you see them in need of coal, you first of all pay for them yourself, even though they're your enemy, and you give it to them in the containers that they would carry on their head. And by doing that, you're giving them something that they really need. You're not burning them. You're helping them out in a time of need. And that is going to do more than hitting them back. You know, a lot of people want to just see the evil, see the hatred, and be hit back. But remember, Jesus loved all. You know, Jesus's whole idea was not to, out of spite, make someone feel bad. Ultimately, he wanted them to come back to them after they were evil. And we too were foolish and disobedient, but Jesus died for us. He gave himself as a sacrifice. And ultimately that's what we need to do. And that's what I believe what Paul is saying here is to be a sacrifice, to be someone who, if we see our enemy needs food, water, shelter, heat for their home, whatever it may be, we're there. We're living like Jesus. Because in verse 21, it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And see, that's the point. It's not out of spite. The point here is to overcome evil with good. If we are good to them, we can open the door to the gospel. And we may not. They may move on, but we gave a good example. And they may look back later in life, why did Matt not hit me back? Why did Matt not do this or that? Why did he give me food when I mean, he didn't have to do that. I was a terrible person to him. But if we overcome evil with good, then now we're understanding what it's like to be like Christ. He overcame evil by forgiving them, giving his life as a sacrifice, and ultimately allowing them to be saved from their sins. That is overcoming evil from good. And that is the point here, what Paul is saying. That's what's going to build our character. And once we've worked on our character, then when it comes to vengeance and evil that's done to us, we will do nothing but good. And that's what Paul is saying. So I thank you so much for your time in chapter 12. Go ahead and read chapter 13, and we'll study that on Wednesday. Thank you.